Okay, so we're on Daf Yud Zayin. So just to refresh your recollections, we're going through the a number of gezeirot that they made when Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel when they had the vote, and let's give me one second. Let me get everything all lined up. One minute. So there were 18 gezeirot that they promulgated, and the reason the Gemara brought it in was because two of the gezeirot related to Shabbos, where we had lo yikra la'oran er, you shouldn't read by the candlelight on Friday night. That was one of the gezeirot, and lo yifaleh la'oran er, you shouldn't delouse the garment by candlelight. So, but those are the two of the 18 gezeirot, and the Gemara went through to try to figure out what are the other 18 gezeirot. All right, so I'll begin a few lines from the bottom on Tetzayin and Beis. So Ve'idach, two lines from the bottom on Tetzayin and Beis, 16b, two lines from the bottom. So Ve'idach Ma'ihi, what's another gezeirah? What's another gezeirah they have? So Didan, so the Gemara quotes a Mishnah from Masechet Ahalot. It says, Kol Matatlin Mevina Natuma Ba'ovi Hamardeya. That the gezeirah was that metaltalim can transport tumah with ovi amardei, with the thickness of an ox goad. So it means like this. It's talking about tumas ohel. Tumas ohel means there's a dead body, and I lean over the body, that's tumas ohel. If the body's over me, it's tumas ohel. Or if I and the body are under the same roof, that's also tumas ohel. Okay? That's tumas ohel. So for tumas ohel, I need at least a thickness of a tefach, at least a covering that's at least one tefach in thickness. So the Mishnah here says that if you have an ox goad is like a pole that you poke the ox with. So if the ox goad is not a tefach in width, but the ox goad has a tefach in circumference, so then that's enough to convey tumah on a drabbanan level. That was one of the gzeirot. Okay, so read back inside again. It says Didan kol matatlin mevinin tumah beovi amardeya, that they declared that all matatlin, things that I can move, will be able to, you know, give me tumas ohel beovi amardeya, provided that the circumference, in other words, the mardeya is like a third of a tefach in thickness and a tefach in circumference. So that mardeya will transport tumah, will give me tumas ohel. So I'm Rabbi Tarfon, the Mishnah continues. Rabbi Tarfon says, Akabech et banai, I'll cut off my children. Means like, Rachman Aslan, my children should die young. Shizu halacha mekupachat, shishma shumeya betah. This was a mistaken halacha. In other words, somebody was in the base medrash. He overheard something. He did not understand properly what he heard. And as a result of that, people were misled into thinking that the gzera was the way we just said it. So he's going to explain what it is that they heard. He says, and this is what they heard. Ha'ikar over u marda'o al ktefo. There was a farmer who passed by, and he had this mardeya, this ox goad, on his shoulder. He says, ve'ihel tzido akan al kever, and one side of the ox goad was over a kever. He says, Timuoto Mishum Kalim Hamahilim Alameit. So it means like this. So the farmer showed up in the base medrash. He said he was carrying an ox goad. One end of the ox goad went over a kever, went over a grave. And he's holding the other part of it on his shoulder. So they told him, according to Rabbi Tarfon, what they told him was, the ox goad is definitely an avatuma, and there was no question about that. Irrespective of any gezeira, the ox goad went over the olamate, the ox goad gets tuma. The ox goad itself is an avatuma. He, the farmer, was in physical contact with the ox goad, so he becomes a rishon latuma. He's a rishon. So they told him in the base medrash, you're a rishon latuma, go to the mikveh, wait for nightfall, and then you'll be tahor. So that was, according to Rabbi Tarfon, that's what transpired in the base medrash. But the person who overheard this, somebody overheard the psak, and they thought that they were telling the farmer that he's got to be like tumah shiva. He's tamei for 7 days. He thought that they were telling the farmer that the farmer's tamei for 7 days, and that's why he got the whole thing confused with. So we're trying to figure out one of the 18 gzeirot, and we said the gzeira is that if the ox goad has a circumference of a tefach, it gives tumas ohel. If it gives tumas ohel, the person is tamei for 7 days. He's got to go through the ashes on the third and the seventh day, and he has to go to the mikveh. And Rabbi Tarfon says, no, that's ridiculous. That's not what took place. In other words, now the idea behind that would be that people would get confused between the shiurim that they need for tumas ohel. In other words, they won't understand that there's a difference between when I need a whole tefach or there's a tefach circumference. So because of that, ostensibly, the chamimid gzeira, you have tumas ohel, even if it just has a tefach in circumference. Rabbi Tarfon says, no, that never took place. What took place was this farmer walked into the Beis Medrash, he asked the Psak Halacha, they gave him Psak Halacha, and the person, the listener, got him, he confused the whole thing. If I can use the term, he bollocks up the whole thing. Anyway, so let's take it back in the Gemara. Okay, so that's what Rabbi Tarfon said. Okay, now,
Rabbi Tarfon doesn't hold this one of the 18?
That's correct. Okay, just be patient, but that's correct. Okay, now, let's go on line 4. So I'll pause another 6 lines, okay? So the Gemara says, Am Rabbi Akiva, ani atakein shu dibrei chachamim kayamin. Rabbi Akiva says, I'm going to explain everything, and I'm going to explain it in a way that will sustain this as one of the 18 gzeirot. That's what Rabbi Akiva says. So Rabbi Akiva agrees with Rabbi Tarfon that there is no reason to make a gzeira if I'm under this ox goad. Just I'm under the ox goad. And I don't think people get confused with, a covering which is a tefach thick with a covering which is a tefach in circumference. But Rabbi Akiva says there is a gzeira, and the gzeira takes place when the person is in physical contact with the ox goad. So when a person's in physical contact with the ox goad, he, the farmer, would think that, in other words, let's say that same case, he comes to the Beis Medrash. They tell him, you're only Tameh, you're a Rishon Tumah. You came into contact with an Ava Tumah, you're a Rishon Tumah. So you're only Tameh for 1 day, go to the mikvah, and you'll be fine in the evening. He, the farmer, or people similarly situated, will think that I know that I, the farmer, was not into physical contact with the mace. Presumably, I'm going to think that the Chachamim goes there 1 day because of Tumas Ohel. In other words, he doesn't understand. He'll think that Tumas Ohel, 1 day Tumah. So because of that confusion, they said that if the farmer, according to Rabbi Akiva, is in physical contact with the ox goad, he has to be tamei for 7 days. Okay, excuse me, the phone's ringing, just ignore it. Okay, so he's tamei for 7 days. Let me just go to the phone. 1 second.
All phones on silence.
Ruth? Ruth? All right. It was Ruth's... Yes. Yes, I'm online. What's up? I'm in the middle of the shiur right now. Just click on the link and you should be able to get on, Ruth. Okay, do the... I sent it to you. I don't have time to talk right now in the middle of the shiur. But look, I sent it to you by email previously. The same link you used in the past, okay? Okay, bye-bye. All right. Now... All right, let's see back. All right, so therefore Rabbi Akiva holds, in Achinami, if it's just over me, there's no gzeira. But if I'm in physical contact with the ox goad, Rabbi Akiva agrees that there is a gzeira drabanan, that I'm going to be tamei for 7 days. All right, let's see back in the Gemara. So he says, so on line 4, so Am Rabbi Akiva, ani atkein shu dibrei chachamim kayamim, shu kol matat l'mivin natuma al hadam, sheno seotan ba'obi amardeya. So if I'm physically carrying something and it has ba'obi amardeya, it has thickness of the ox goad, it has the thickness of the ox goad, v'yal atzman, b'chol shehein, and the ox goad itself can be tamei with any amount because that's over the olamate. V'yal sha'ar adam b'kelim poteach tefach, but for other people only if it has a tefach circumference. V'am Rabbi Yanai said, umar de'ah sha'amru, Ein ba'av yo tefach, v'yesh be'kev yo tefach. So the mardeya that they were referring to, which we explained up till now, it's not a tefach thick, but it has a circumference of a tefach, v'gazul ha'kefo mishum avyo. And they made a gezeira in a situation like that, where the circumference was, where the circumference is a tefach, because there'll be other situations where it'll be a tefach thickness, even though in this case it's not. He says, Now, this is your point, Yosef. So, like you were saying, Yosef.
You have reached 516-482-6815.
Hello? Yes, Michael, nice to speak to you. I'm in the middle of giving a class, but I take it you're going to come tomorrow, right? Okay, thank you so much. Bye-bye. Okay. All right, I'm sorry. You know, I think more people are calling, whatever, but anyway, let's see, Brother Kunagora. So it says here, so according to Rabbi Tarfon, so Batsru Lahu, so there's one less, so I need one to fill in the gap. So the Gemara says, Amrav Dachmor Yitzchak, Aparot Kutim Nidot Me'arisatan Bo Bayom Gazru. So Rabbi Tarfon will hold, and this was a question I think he had in yesterday's Gemara, another possibility for one of the Gzeirot, which the Gemara entertained, was that there was a Gzeirot that Benot Kutim or Nidot Me'arisatan. Remember that the Kutim, the way they learn the Torah, they don't entertain the possibility that a woman could become a Nida when she's a katana. And the Chachamim say she could become a Nida when she's a katana. So they made a gzeira that benot kutim, that the daughters of kutim are ipso facto considered to be nidot. Uve'idach svir lei kirameir. And on the other one, he holds like Rameir with the kalim. You had one with the kalim, which you would ask me about yesterday, Robert, about the kalim with the mikvah. That he agrees with Rameir. So he has what to fill in. Okay, let's just again summarize what we did. So again, we're going down the 18 gezeirot, and two of the gezeirot relate to Masechet Shabbat, and that we had already. That was not lo yikra l'or aner and lo yifalel l'or aner. And then we mentioned today the one about this mardeya, in other words, this ox goad that has a circumference of a tefach. So that's one of the gzeirot. And according to Rabbi Akiva, it's when the farmer is in physical contact with it, so he, on a din d'rabbanan, is tamei for 7 days. Okay, who's got questions, comments, and thoughts on anything we did so far? Everybody good? Everybody good? Nobody? Everybody good? Everybody happy?
But the kuti women being a nida, is that when they were still considered Jewish, or when they were already considered goyim?
No, if they're goyim, then there's no tumma at all with them. It's when they were considered
right.
to be Jewish.
Right. So this is when they were still considered Jewish.
Right. 100% correct. Okay. Everybody good? Okay. So I'm going to go on. Okay. Let's go on. All right. Let's see further. All right. Now, the Gemara says, or here, v'idach. Now we're up to the next gezeira. V'idach. Habotzer lagat. Now, if a person is he's harvesting grapes, and in Hebrew there's a different verb for everything that you harvest. So when you harvest grapes, you're botzer. When you harvest grain, you're kotzer. When you harvest olives, you're mosek. Anyway, there's a different verb for everything that you harvest in Hebrew. You know, it's interesting, you know, which languages, every language has its strengths and weaknesses. My understanding is in Arabic, they have a million terms for it. Ruth, I'm glad you made it, Ruth. Okay, Baruch haba. Okay, so in Arabic, they have with camels, you know, they got a 1-year-old, a 2-year-old, a 3-year-old, you know, male, female, this, that, the other. So it tells you a lot about the culture of the people when you just see the language and where it has, like, it's like spreads out, it has specificity. So it tells you something about the, you know, Hebrew language and it's such specific, how agriculturally oriented it was. So let's think back on the Gemara. So the Ida Chabotzer Legat, if a person is harvesting grapes, Shammai Omer Huchshor, Hillel Omer Lo Huchshor. So Shammai says that the grapes have to always be viewed as susceptible to Tuma, and Hillel says not. Now, again, it means like this. When I harvest the grapes, so some of the juice from the grapes will come out. And if the juice comes out and I want the juice, so then the grapes are susceptible to Tuma. But I don't want the juice when I'm harvesting the grapes, right? The grapes are coming out. I don't want the juice going out. The juice is going to go be lost, so I don't want it. But what Shammai has, and we'll give reasons for it, Shammai holds, notwithstanding that, that it is susceptible to Tuma. That's going to be one of the 18 zero. Okay, so that's it. So let's see back in the Gemara. So Amar Le Hillel Shammai. Hillel says to Shammai, "Mnei ba botzrim b'tara ve'in moskin b'tara." He says, why is it that you, Shammai, insist that the Betzira, when you harvest the grapes, that has to be done in a state of Tara? I mean, you have to do Kalim that don't have Tuma with it. You're concerned that the grapes are susceptible to Tuma. How come you're not concerned about the same thing by olives? How come you don't have the same concern by olives? He says, Amar Lei, so Shammai said to him, Im Takni Tani, Gozrani Tuma Afala Masika. He says, if you provoke me, so I'm going to make Ixera and say that in Achinami, the olives are also susceptible to Tuma. Now, it says here in the arts world, they had a blurb. One second. They said that, Hillel and Shammai had reasons for decreeing only with respect to grapes, not olives. And it says, this is in footnote 24, he proposed reasons to Hillel, but Hillel countered every one of them and claimed there's no valid reason. Whereupon Shammai proclaimed that Hillel would continue to refute each and every one of his distinctions. He'd be forced to equate both grapes and olives and decree Tuma on both of them. All right, that's the basic idea. So let's see back in the Gemara. So he says, Na'atsu cherub b'beinah medrash. They stuck down a sword in the base medrash. Amru anichnas yikanes vayotzei el yitzei. The one who ever wants to come in can come in. Nobody should leave. And when they said in the art scroll that when they would throw a sword down, that means that they want to take a vote on something. Va'otoyom hayahil kafuf v'yoshev nei Shammai kechamin atamidim. So that day Hillel was very submissive and sitting before Shammai with one of the Talmidim. Hillel was head of the Sanhedrin. He's like he's the number one chacham there. And yet he was kafuf lifnei Shammai. He was somewhat, the way they said it, like he was somewhat humiliated. Yisrael kiyom shenasa bo ha'egel. And it was a difficult day for Klal Yisrael, like the day that the egel, the golden calf, was made. So they quoted here in the art scroll from the Chasam Sofer. He says that at the egel, Aaron v'chur, you know, gave advice, and nobody listened to them, and they ended up building the egel. So he wanted to say that had people listened to Hillel more, they would have been in better shape. But Hillel was, like, silent there, and they're going forward. He says, V'gazur Shammai, okay, so the Gemara says, V'gazur Shammai to Hillel, lo kiblu minayu. So Shammai and Hillel both made the gzeira concerning the grapes, but nobody accepted it. It was the populace didn't accept it. But then the Talmidim came, which is the 18 Gzeira we're discussing, and then they made the same Gzeira, and everybody accepted it. So now, let me just get to the bottom of the Amud, and then I'll open up the floor for some questions. So the Gemara says, my time, what's the reason for this Gzeira? So again, I'm just repeating myself. So in order for food to be Mekabel Tuma, it has to have one of the Shiva Machshirin, one of the seven beverages or fluids have to go on it, and I have to want the fluid to be around. So here, when I'm harvesting the grapes, I have the juice coming out from the grapes, but I don't want the juice going out, and it's going to waste anyway. So why is it that Shammai says, and then following him, Beit Shammai, and this was the Gzeira, that indeed the grapes are susceptible to Tuma? So my time. So Amar Ziri, Amar Bechinya Gzeira Shem Yitzurin Bekupo Tameod. So the first answer is that it's a gzeira that I might harvest the grapes in a tamei keli. Now, when I have the machshirim, one aspect is that I have to want it, and then that makes it the item that it touches susceptible to tuma. But another aspect is that the machshirim themselves can become tamei. In other words, the seven machshirim can themselves become tamei. So there's one opinion that holds that if I have a tamei vessel, and then the juice comes out, and then it becomes tamei, that gives greater chashivas to the juice, greater importance to that juice. And then that juice becomes a machshir, even though I didn't specifically have that in mind, but because it has the chashivas that it became tamei, now the grapes will be susceptible to tuma. So he says, so the Gemara says, Amar Ziri Amar Khanina Xer Shem Yivser Bakupo Tmeot. So the Gemara says, Anik Laman Damar Kli Tame Choshev Mashkin Shapir. So the Gemara says, according to the opinion that says that if you have a Tame vessel and then the juice becomes Tame, so then that becomes one of the Machshirim. So you're right, everything works out well according to him. El Laman Damar in Kli Tame Choshev Mashkin Ma'ik Lamar. But according to the opinion, the fact that it became Tame doesn't necessarily mean that it's like one of the Machshirim because I didn't want it around. Ella Amar Ziri, so the Gemara has a different Hesber. So Riziri says, Amar B'chanina, Zer Shem Yifserna B'kupot Mezupafot. It might be that sometimes I might harvest the grapes in watertight vessels. In other words, my intent is to process the grapes into wine. And I might harvest it in a watertight, a keli. So then I will want, in that circumstance, I would want the juice. So even though there are going to be times when I don't want the juice, but because sometimes I will want the juice, and then it will be Tamei on a Daraisa level, so the Chami made a Gzeira that the grapes are always susceptible to Tuma from the juice that comes out, and then I'll use always like a Tahor Keli. Rava Amar, Gzeira Mishum Hanoshot. Rava says a different explanation for the Gzeira. He says because of Noshkot, because sometimes the grapes will be like clustered together, and I will separate out the clusters and end up squeezing the grapes. So that's a psik resha. In other words, if I squeeze the grapes and then the juice comes out, so even though I didn't have specific intent, you know, that I wanted that juice, but somehow it's a little bit like Hilchot Shabbos. You know, we have Daf Yomi people have had it. Like, in other words, I remember like Melachet Machshevet. I need to have intention. You know, like the craftsman's intent to do the melacha. But if somebody's a psik resha, you know, like I opened my refrigerator door on Shabbos and I didn't intend to open the light, but it's since psik resha, since it will always have to happen, that is attributable to me like I had kavana. So the same thing here, when I separate out the clusters of grapes, so some of the juice is going to squeeze out. So even though I didn't specifically have intent, you know, that the juice should be there and I want the juice, but nevertheless, it's considered like I did want the juice, and therefore, for that reason, they made the gzera in all cases. Okay, Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Boravua, Pamim Shetam Olech LeKarmo, Leidayim Higiwa Navim LeBetzira Olo. So Rav Nachman has a different answer. He says sometimes a person will go to his vineyard. He wants to know if the grapes are at the point in time when they should be harvested. And he takes a cluster of grapes and to squeeze it. And the juice goes on the grapes. Now, when the juice goes on the grapes and the grapes are still attached to the vines, it's not susceptible to tumah because anything that's growing is not susceptible to tumah. But at the time of the harvesting, that juice is still splashing around on top of them. So in that limited case, so I wanted the juice to see how, if it was ripe or not, and so the juice was the juice that I wanted, so that those grapes are susceptible to tumah, because that case, in every case, they made it, you know, susceptible to tumah. Okay, let me repeat again, okay? Let everybody focus. I know these are difficult halachot, but we got to make it through the 18 zeirot, then we'll move on at the end of today's daf to a different topic, okay? So, again, so this gzeira is from Shammai, and then from him, Beit Shammai, and then Beit Hillel, they all adopted it, that when I harvest grapes, I have to view the grapes as being susceptible to tumah. So how are the grapes susceptible to tumah? The grapes are only susceptible to tumah if I have one of the seven machshirim, one of the seven beverages goes on, and I want the beverage to go on it. So here, when I'm harvesting the grapes, this beverage that comes out, but I don't want it, so why is it susceptible to tumah? So we gave several reasons why it's susceptible to tumah. So one is that it's gzeira because I might harvest the grapes in a tamei vessel. So according to one opinion in the Gemara, if the beverage itself becomes tamei, so then that gives it chashivas, and then I don't have to have kavana that I wanted the machshirim, and then the grapes would become tamei. So because of that situation, they said in all situations I have to be conservative. That was one reason. Then we said that according to Amar Ziri, Amar Chanina, the question is that I might collect the grapes in watertight vessels. So if it's a watertight vessel, I do want the juice, because that case where I want the juice, it would be machshir, so they made gzera for all cases. Then Rava says gzera because of noshkot, where the clusters are like clinging to each other, and I squeeze one to, when I separate it, and there I do want the juice, or that's a psik ratio, that the juice will come out, and it is considered the machshirim, so because of that. Or last case is where I squeeze it and I want the juice out, but they're still attached to the vines, but the juice will still be around when I harvested it, so then it would be susceptible to tumah. So because of that, in all cases, they made the gzera. Okay, who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we just did? Go ahead, Robert. I see you puzzled over there. What's up?
Can you explain to me what the physical concept of susceptible to tumah means?
Yeah, okay. It means like this, that objects can receive tumah, right? Objects can become tameh. When it comes to food, it can only become tameh if it has one of the seven makshirim. I have a prerequisite that one of the seven makshirim have to go on it first. We said there are seven makshirim, and Fern knows the mnemonic device for it. It's Yad Shachat Dam, right? Okay, good work, Fern. So one of the seven fluids has to go on it in order for it to be susceptible to tumah.
So in other words, if one of the fluids goes on the object, then it's already, that's tumah.
No. If one of the, again, I have to want that fluid either to be on the food, or I wanted the fluid to come out, and then it just means that it's susceptible to tumah. Then it has to come into contact with something that's tameh. In other words,
the item that's susceptible has to come into contact with something that's tumah to become
right.
tumah.
That's tameh, right? That's correct.
Okay, now I got.
Okay, any other questions? Everybody good? Yosef, you're good. Yosef, what's up?
Yeah, do we know why Beit Shammai made a difference between grapes and olives?
So they. 1 minute. I don't know. He says here, he quotes that Rav Shrira seems to be of the opinion that Rav Shammai did actually decree on olives in view of Hillel's arguments. But, 1 second. Yeah. Alright. So I don't know. I don't know what the answer to that is. Okay? Okay, he says here, he quotes here. Okay, he says Tosos suggests a reason why it only applies to grapes, not olives. Tosos states, the juice that exudes from olives at the time of the harvesting is watery, is not classed as oil, but rather sap. Therefore, it can affect texture. Only after the olives have been stored to ripen is their juice considered oil. Anyway, but there's a big discussion about it. All right, I'm going to move on. Everybody good? All right, so I'm on the bottom line on Yud Zayin Amalah 17a, the bottom line. Okay. V'idach, now the Gemara has another gzeira. We're going down the gzeirot. V'idach, Amar Tavi Rishba, Amar Shmuel. So Tavi Rishba, he said here they translate Tavi the hunter. Rashi says it's related to the word Nishva, which are the person who spreads out the nets. He says the name is Shmuel. Av Gidule Truma Truma Boba Yom Gazru, that they made a gzeira that Gidule Truma have the same din of Truma. Now, let's say I am Mafrish Truma. I'm a Yisrael. A mafrish truma to give it to the Kohen. And we've had this in Daf Yomi, but we've had, I guess, everything in Daf Yomi. Not everything, but a lot. So, let's say I would take some of that truma. I have grain. The grain is the truma. Let's say I take that grain, I plant it, and grow a new stalk from the plant. In other words, I stuck the seed in the ground. Now the seed disappears, and now I have a new stalk. So, on a Din Torah, that's the end of the Kedusha's truma by that object. So it's not truma anymore, and something else grew from it. I mean, that's a din Torah. So Tavi Rishba said to Shmuel that they made a gzeira that Gidulei Truma have the same din as truma. Gidulei Truma have the same din as truma. He says, Bo Bayom Gazu, they made the gzeira that day. My time, why did they make that gzeira? So Amar Rebbe Chanina, gzeira Mishum Truma Torah B'Yad Yisrael. So he says it's gzeira because of Truma Torah B'Yad Yisrael. In other words, the Israel has the truma, he hasn't yet distributed it to the Kohen. According to this first Hezber, we're afraid that the Israel will become stingy and say, I don't feel like giving the truma to the Kohen, I'm going to take this truma, I'm going to plant my field with it, and then it'll be my tebua. Why do I have to give it to the Kohen? I know the halachot. So, Amar Rava, He says, if that would be the case, if that's the ostensible rationale, so then the farmer wouldn't bother even separating out the truma. Why? Came into Efshar and Ebad Chita Chakit Shmuel. In other words, he could, and still technically be within halacha, separate one grain. Let's say he's got a big pile of tabua, he could separate one grain out for truma. He could do that. He says, V'lo ka'avid heimuni mehemne. He says, but since he doesn't do that, so it means that it means the that we could rely that in other words he's trustworthy and that's not what's going on here. El gzeira mishum truma tameya biyad kohen. Rather, the reason they made the gzeira that gidulei truma have a din in truma was truma I had already given to the kohen. And now it became tame. Now, if truma becomes tame, so the kohen can't eat it, nobody can eat it. The only thing the kohen could do, he could burn it, use it for fuel or something like that, but he's not too thrilled with that. So we're afraid that the kohen will think, you know, I don't feel like burning this truma. I'd rather plant it and now have some crops from it. He says, Dilma mashi la gabei ba'atili de kalit. So we're afraid he's going to have, like, say, the bag or five bags of truma. And he's going to say, you know what, I'm not doing anything. I'm going to wait till the spring planting or the fall planting, and I'll plant it, and I'll be done with this, and that's what I'll use the truma for. But meanwhile, in between now and then, he, the Kohen, may come to eat the truma. And the truma is truma tmeya. So he does a big aveira of eats truma tmeya. So they said, you know what, we're making a gzeira that if gidulei truma are truma, in other words, gidulei, if you grow the truma, it has the same status as the truma that you had before. Nothing changes. So then he's going to lose the whole incentive to, you know, delay it and plant it. And everybody believe it like that. Okay, let's go over again. So again, so we did two gzeirot earlier today, and now the third gzeirot we're doing today is that gidulei truma are like truma. That which grows from truma is din a truma. So we said on a din Torah, if I take a seed of truma and I plant it grows, it's chulin, because the truma has disappeared. In other words, like the original object is not there anymore, right? I mean, we had like the Gemara elsewhere. If you remember, look in Rashi, if you look in the second wide line of Rashi, in other words, elsewhere the Gemara makes a distinction between something, the Zaro Kala, where its seed gets destroyed. Remember, some plants have like bulbs, and the original bulb is still there, and it grows from it. That's more reason to maintain that it's the same plant. But if it's totally, the original plant disappears, and now something else grows from it, in other words, I stick the seed in the ground, now it grows, so it's much more of an argument that it's a totally different object, and indeed it is a different object. But they made a gzeira that it's not a different object. They made a gzeira that has the same din as truma as before. And so the Gemara ends up saying the reason they made that gzeira is because they were afraid that a kohen could have truma tameya, and he doesn't like burning the truma tameya, and he wants to get use out of his money, and he'll think, you know, I got my way out of this, I'll plant it, and then it'll become chulin, but I have my plants, and I'll be in good shape. And in the meantime, we're afraid that he may come to, you know, forget and then consume the truma tameya, which is a big aveira. So he said, you know what, gidulei truma are just like truma, and you're not going to get anywhere by planting it. And that's where we're going to leave it. Okay, who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did so far? Everybody good?
So if a kohen plants truma that became tuma.
Tame, right.
From the Torah, what is it?
It's chulin.
Okay,
everybody else good? Everybody good? All right, moving on. Okay? All right, let's see further. All right, we're on the 10th line from the top on Yudzayin Amud Beis. Okay, we're up to another one of the Gzei Road. V'idach Amar B'chiyah Bar Ami Mishrei De'ula Afmi Shehich Shichlo B'derech Notin Kiso L'Nachri Bo B'yom Gazru. Let's say it's late on Friday afternoon. So one of the Gzei Road is that if there's a goy there, that I should give my wallet to the goy and ask him to carry it where it needs to be carried, as opposed to walking less than Dalet Amot. In other words, it's getting late on Friday afternoon. I'm stuck in the middle of nowhere, and I'm not planning to stay here in the middle of nowhere for Shabbos. And I have my wallet on me. So the key is, I mean, the wallet is also muksa with money, but the key is hotzah. I'm going to do hotzah on Shabbos, which is bad news, if I didn't do anything. So choice A, I walk less than Dalet Amot, less than Dalet Amot, less than Dalet Amot, until I get where I need to go. choice B, I give it to a goy, and I said to the goy, do me a favor, please take this from me and bring this elsewhere. Now, when I give it to the goy, it gets into the problem of amira la'akum. In other words, I'm not allowed to ask a goy, a non-Jew, to do malacha for me on Shabbos, even though the goy doesn't care about malacha, but I cannot
ask... It's not Shabbos yet.
What? Yeah, but I'm asking. In other words, I'm asking him on Shabbos. In other words, Shabbos is going to be in 5 minutes. I say, here's the wallet. Shabbos. And meanwhile, you know, I'm going to heading to the town that's, you know, whatever, a distance away, and you bring this to the town. So I'm asking the goy to do malacha for me on Shabbos. So even though there, normally that would violate the din. But they made this gzera, it seems more like a takana, really, but they made this, I guess the gzera is that I shouldn't carry it two amo, but they relaxed the laws of amira la'akum vis-a-vis the wallet, because as weighing the two possibilities, they were concerned that if I do two amo, I'll come to carry the wallet, and then I could be chayev on hotzana deraisa level. So they said, give it to the goy, and even though you'll be speaking to him in a way that's not the greatest, that's what they're making this gzera. Okay, any questions on that one? Everybody go?
Yes.
What's up?
Yes.
All right, you sound like you're tough tonight, Fern. I know when I got a tough customer. What's up?
No. So Amira La'akum doesn't count Erev Shabbos if it's close to Shabbos?
No. Listen, here's a two. Amira La'akum applies whether it's Friday or it applies whether it's Shabbos. I can't ask a non-Jew to do malacha. If I say it on Friday, on Shabbos, I want you to do malacha for me, turn on the light on Shabbos, I got a problem. Or if on Shabbos I say turn on the light for me on Shabbos, I got a problem. So it's a
problem. But if it's possible for him to accomplish this before Shabbos, is it still Amira La'akum? I think
That's not the case we're talking about. We're talking about where the goy will be carrying it on Shabbos. That's the case. We're giving a different case. We're talking about that the non-Jew will be carrying the wallet for me on Shabbos. That's what we're talking about. All right, Robert. All right. Robert, you look like you're ready to pose the question. Go for it. Let me hear, Robert. What do you got for me?
I'm not following. If you're not supposed to ask a Gentile to do work on Shabbos, why do we have this thing called the Shabbos goy?
So again, you have to get into the dinim. The Shabbos goy is, you know, sort of like an overused term somewhat. In other words, a lot of situations people are not allowed to are not allowed to have the Shabbos goy, and so the fact that the goy there doesn't mean that I can ask him to do malacha for me. Just the opposite.
We arrange every Shabbos for non-Jews to do work in our
I don't know who we is, but like in the shul, even in the shul, we try to avoid it. We have clocks to set up to put things on and off, and we hopefully that the goyim aren't doing it for us. There are, though, more kulas when it comes to a shul where you have the rabbim and you're doing a mitzvah to rabbim. So there are more kulas involved, but generally you're not allowed to ask a goy to do malacha for you on Shabbos, okay? And a Jew is not allowed to benefit from malacha that a goy does for him on Shabbos. Okay, stay with the Masechta. You'll get more as we go on, but that's the basic idea. Okay?
All right. I have a question.
What's up, Yosef? What's up?
Isn't this wallet muksa?
Say again, what?
Isn't the wallet muksa?
Yeah, I said it is a muksa problem, but he's got a bigger problem, which is a hotza'a, which is, you know, could be a malacha d'oraisa. So he's got muksa also, where that's definitely true. All right, now, let's see back in the Gemara. All right, we're around the 10th line from the top, okay? Okay, we're up to the Idach, so now we're taking down another Gezerah, another one of the 18 Gezerot, and as you can see, the Mishnah is only 10 lines ahead, so we're almost through the 18 Gezerot, okay? The Idach, Amar Bali, Amar Abimi San Vato'a, Pitan V'shamlan V'yeinan Uvnotayan, Kulan Mishmonasar Devarhein. So, Bali says the name of Abimi San Vato'a. San Vato'a is the name of a place. He's talking about the bread of non-Jews, the oil of non-Jews, the wine of non-Jews, and the non-Jewish daughters are all included in the 18 items. So this I think this is like one item, but he's saying that some things were for social intercourse. In other words, Chazal didn't want us to socialize so much with the goyim. So it goes there that if a goy bakes bread, I can't eat that bread. It's pot akum. Parakum. You've heard of parakum. Now, some have a kula that if it's commercially baked bread, it might be different than privately made bread. In other words, I'm talking about bread that I know it's kosher. I know he didn't use any non-kosher ingredients in it. But there's a question when I'm allowed to eat it. So if it's so people are, you know, certainly if a non-Jew bakes it in his home, certainly I can't eat it. But if it's like commercially baked bread, so then some people are making in that situation, though even there, So many people are makpid on Shabbos just to have Pat Yisrael. In other words, especially on Shabbos, a person should just try to eat Pat Yisrael. And it's shayach also by crackers, so you want to make sure the crackers are Pat Yisrael. And even though they have a hechsher on it, they're not necessarily Pat Yisrael. Okay, that's pitan. And then v'shamnon is their oil, and that was later rescinded. The gzera concerning the oil was later rescinded. Then it says v'yenam, their wine. Now the wine is partially because of social intimacy, and partially because of relates to like stam yenam, like or yayin nesach. Like the goyim use the wine for avodah zarah, so even wine that we don't know what they use for, so they have to stay away from that. And then uvenotein. Now the gemara asks him a second avodah zarah. What do you mean the daughters? The daughters are prohibited on a Torah level. So the gemara ends up saying that it's yichud, that I can't have you alone with the non-Jewish woman, and that's the gzera they made. So kulan mishmonas har davarhin. So they're all of those things are from the 18 items. Let me just check. I just want to see if those are one item or three or four. 1 second. Just give me 1 second.
It's one.
One. Yeah, I thought so too. All right, let me just tell you. He's got a listing here. Let me just take a quick look. 1 second. 1 second.
Rashi has it.
Oh yeah. Okay. 1 second. 1 second. So let me just take a look. So Yosef's right. Okay. So that's all counts as one. Okay, let's see back in the Gemara. He says, so the Gemara says, Hanicha l'Rav Meir. So now the Gemara in yesterday's daf quoted the Rav Meir, held that one of the gzeirot were these kalim that you were using the mikvah and with the mayim she'uvim. So with Rav Meir, who holds that that's a gzeira, so mayla, that the number 18 works that well. El Rav Yosi, Shavstrei Havyan. But according to Rabbi Yossi, it was Mechulak Rav Meir, so I'm only up to 17. So the Gemara says, Ika had Rav Acha Bar Ado. The Amar Rav Acha Bar Ado, Am Rav Yitzchak, Gazru al Pitan Mishum Shamnan. So he has this memory, they would go there on the bread because of their oil. Yal Shamnan Mikut Mishum Yenam, and their oil because of their wine. So the Gemara interjects, Al Pitan Mishum Shamnan, they would go there on the bread because of their oil. My ulmei shemen mipat. Why is shemen more chamor than pot? In other words, I'm goes to the pot because of the oil. El gazru al pitan v'shamnan mishum yenam. In other words, if it goes there, the bread and the oil because of the wine. The wine is the poison part because that's at least possibly to avodah zarah. The al yenam mishum bedoteim. If it goes there on the wine because of their daughters. In other words, you don't want the social interaction. He says be al bedoteim mishum davar acher. And if it goes there concerning their daughters because of davar acher. Davar acher means that will lead to avodah zarah. But then the al davar acher mishum davar acher, because of davar acher, there goes there for davar acher. So the Gemara has explained that there's another gzera here. So my davar acher, Amram Nachum Bar Yitzchak gazru al tinok nochri shemitame b'ziva. They made a gzera that a non-Jewish child is tame b'ziva. In other words, a non-Jew has no tumah ziva. It doesn't matter what he emits from himself. A non-Jew has no tumah. He has no kedusha. He has no tumah. No tara. No tumah. There it goes there on a tino nachri shemitami beziva that a young non-Jewish child is susceptible to tumah beziva. But it means that all the non-Jews have tumah ziva. That's basically what they did. He says shlo yehi tinok Yisrael ragilat zlo b'mishkav zachur. So they wanted to discourage like the Jewish children going on like play dates with the non-Jewish kids because they're all suspected of mishkav zachur, of like homosexual relations. He says, so the Gemara says ihak the Rameir nami chasrei havyan. So according to Rameir, Rameir will agree with that one as well. So according to Rameir, and I'll be up to 19. So the Gemara says, "Ochlin v'kelim shenitbu b'mashkin b'chara chashiv lahu." So Rameir will say that ochlim and kelim that became tami through mashkim. Remember, the mashkim were related also like to different things on a derabbanan level. They'll consider that to be one gezerah instead of two gezerah. Okay, so let's just summarize again. So and then we'll get some questions. So the basic idea is we said that there's a gzeira concerning their bread, their wine, their oil, though the oil was later rescinded, And then we said there was another gzeira that the non-Jews are all considered to be, that's one gzeira. Then there's another gzeira that the non-Jews are all considered to be like zavim, in other words, like tame, avodatuma, and that was also made to discourage, like kids playing with other kids, and they don't want to have them, the kid becoming tame, and because were afraid of mishkav zach, where they were afraid of like homosexual relations with the non-Jews. Okay, any questions on anything we did so far? Everybody good? All right, let me go on. Okay, I'm moving on. All right, now, the next Mishnah, we're done with the 18 gzeirot. Okay, now we're going to the next Mishnah. Now, the next Mishnah is talking about Shvita Kalim. Now, Shvita Kalim means that Chazal teaches us that a person on a Torah level is admonished not to do malach on Shabbos. The Torah says, I should not do malach on Shabbos. And I shouldn't let members of my household do malacha. I shouldn't let my slaves do malach on Shabbos. And I shouldn't let my behema do malach on Shabbos. I can't have my cow plowing my field on Shabbos. I can't have my cow, you remember like the Gemara is going to have behema yotza. I can't have my cow going out, you know, wearing something, quotes on quotes, which is really Hotsan Shabbos. I'm also admonished that my animal shouldn't do malach on Shabbos. Now, there's a machlok between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai, whether there's Shvitat Kalim. According to Beit Shammai, I'm also directed that my Kalim, my vessels, my tools, should not do malach on Shabbos, meaning, let's say I have a trap. So according to Beit Shammai, I cannot set the trap on Friday where an animal could be trapped on Shabbos. Because then my kalim are doing malacha on Shabbos. And according to Hillel, if I set it up before Shabbos, it's no problem. So obviously, that would be a big problem for all of us. Like according to Beit Shammai, and the Gemara will discuss how they would do this, according to Beit Shammai, I couldn't have the cholent cooking on Shabbos, because like the food is cooking in my kalim on Shabbos, and I'm not allowed to do that. And the way I remember, the Gemara says that according to Beit Shammai, the Gemara says, how does Beit Shammai ever light candles going into Shabbos? And but we'll see in the Gemara, we'll see in the Mishnah, we'll see the upcoming sugyas. Okay, let's look at the next Mishnah. So Manitin, Beit Shammai Omrim, Ein Shorin Dio V'Samanim B'Karshinin, El Kadeshi Shoru Mibod Yom, Ubeit Hillel Matirim. So Beit Shammai says, I can't soak, like, it means like the pigment. They have like, I don't know exactly what it is, but it's like this block of pigment they would stick in water to create a dye. So they have like this block of pigment, and then they stick it in the water, and then it sort of dissolves. So that would be the block of Lash. That's the block of Lash. Lash is kneading. So Beit Shammai says, I'm not allowed to soak the dye and the samanim, or the pigment, and the inks, and the karshinim are the vetch, the beans for an animal. But it's all malachat Lash. In other words, I can't, you know, do something where the malacha is going to be done on Shabbos. So if I set it up going into Shabbos, so then the malacha is going to be done during Shabbos, according to Beit Shammai. He says, El Kadeshi Shomri Vod Yom, unless there's enough time for it to totally soak during the day. Ubeit Hillel Matir. Beit Hillel is Matir, that situation. Okay. Beit Shammai Omrim, Einonim Unim Shal Pishtan Latocha Tanur, El Kadeshi Havilmi Vod Yom. So Beit Shammai says, I can't take bundles of flax and put it in the oven, and my purpose is I want them to become whitened. That's malachat malabain. So I can't stick that in the oven. This all relates to Shvita Kalim. In other words, when I stick the dye in, so the dye is getting soaked in my Kalim on Shabbos. That's, again, my Shvita Kalim. And here when I stick the flax in the oven, so the oven is my Kali, and it's getting the malacha is doing on Shabbos. It's getting whitened on Shabbos, malachat malabain, unless it could be happened before Shabbos. He says, So Einonim Unim Shal Pishtan Tocha Tanur El Kadeshi Ahavilim Vod Yom V'lo Arat Semer L'Yore El Kadeshi Kloda Ayin. Nor can I put wool into the pot to dye the wool. In other words, so the wool will, it's the Malachat Soveya. In other words, the wool will get dyed on Shabbos. Beit Hillel Matir. Beit Hillel is Matir in all those situations. So according to Beit Hillel, if I set it up before Shabbos, I'm okay. Beit Shammai Omrim Ein porsim sudot chayva ofot v'dagim el kadeshi tzodumi ba'od yom. Beit Shammai says, I can't spread out nets and traps, you know, for fish, for birds, for animals, unless they'll be trapped on Friday afternoon before Shabbos. Ubeit Hillel Matirim. Beit Hillel is Matir. Again, the same idea with Shvitat Kalim. Okay? Now, Beit Shammai...
Why do we need so many examples?
So
all the same thing.
Well, the same. You're right. The concept is the same. I'm not sure why we need so many examples. I'm not sure. We'll see. Now, the Gemara says, "Beit Shammai Omrim." Now, this is a different halacha. "Beit Shammai Omrim, a mokrim lenachri, bein toni mimol b'mabin alav, elok deshiagi l'makom karov." Now, this is talking about Prince Beit Shammai. Let's say it's Friday afternoon. On Friday afternoon, I can't sell something to a goy and help him load up the items or put it on the goy to be loaded up, unless the goy's destination is nearby. Well, he'll get there before Shabbos, because it looks like, and people will think, that I, you know, hired this goy to carry things for me on Shabbos. In other words, I really sold it to him. I'm done with this goy, and then I load him up. But it looks like I hired the goy to carry it on Shabbos. So Beit Shammai says I shouldn't do that on Friday afternoon. He says, Beit Hillel matir. Beit Hillel is matir with that. Okay, now, Beit Shammai omrim, Einotnim orod la'abdan, v'lo kelim l'koves nachri, ela k'dei she'asumi ba'od yom. Beit Shammai says I shouldn't give hides to the tanner, means or kelim, or clothes to the non-Jewish laundry, unless they could be processed on Friday afternoon before Shabbos begins. With all of these, Beit Hillel is matir, as long as the sun is still up, Beit Hillel says it's okay. Now, Abba Rav Shimon Gamliel. Now, Rav Shimon Gamliel is from the house of the Nasi, so he's in the Senate of Beit Hillel. Abba Rav Shimon Gamliel, Noagim Ayu Beit Abba, Shu notnim klei lavan lekoves nachri shoshay yamim kodem leShabbat. He says, in our household, the minhag was that we would give like the clothes to the launderer, white clothes, 3 days before Shabbos. In other words, we were machmir, the simple pshat, we were machmir like Beit Shammai. Even though we're descendants of Beis Hillel, we were machmir like Beit Shammai. We discussed this about, you know, like when should you not be machmir like Beit Shammai, and when could you be machmir like Beit Shammai? So he says that notwithstanding the fact that we're descendants of Beis Hillel and we hold like Beis Hillel, we're still machmir like Beit Shammai to make sure that we give the clothes to the non-Jewish cleaners, like in where they'll be able to finish with it before Shabbos, because it takes 3 days to clean it before Shabbos, the white clothes. He says the shavin elu ve'elu. But both Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai agree that a person on Friday afternoon could put, like, the Kor Beit Abad is like the beam from the olive press, and the Igulei Agad is like the thing that you're pressing the wine press, the circular planks for the wine press, where the grapes and the olives will continue to ooze out on Shabbos. And so Rashi explains that the process had already begun, and there was like the crushing process begins earlier, so it's not a malacha d'oraisa. So Beit Shammai is not afraid of putting it on Friday afternoon, because no malacha d'oraisa will be performed with that. All right, now let me just see if I have a little thing from our sheet, and that'll be it.
Can I ask a question?
All right, yeah. What's the question?
So the Shvitas Kalim, if it's going to be over at Rabbanan, does it sound that Shammai says he wouldn't worry about it?
That's the way it sounds like from Rashi and the Mishnah, but we'll have to look more into it, okay? Now,
well, can I ask a question? Why are you allowed to put things on an electric timer before Shabbos if it's going to turn something on Shabbos?
So that's the machloket Beis Hillel Beit Shammai. Beit Shammai would say you're not allowed to do that, and Beis Hillel says you are.
Ah,
okay.
So we follow Beis Hillel.
That we usually do, and we do in this case as well. Okay, now, all right, we only have a few minutes, because Rabbi Yitzchak's going to have his hesped in a few minutes, so I want you to be free to hear the hesped, but let me just finish up this piece, and it's wonderful seeing all of you, and again, as usual, I hope that we can meet again soon in the Beis Medrash. Okay, now, so we spoke about the traps before Shabbos. The Rambam writes that if someone incites a dog to chase after rabbits on Shabbos, and he assists in the capturing of rabbits by standing in their way, he's chayv providing malach of tzedah. In other words, I set out the dog to capture the rabbits, and I sort of block the rabbits, you know, means of egress. So the Rambam says, I'm chayv for malach of tzedah on Shabbos. The Magen Avraham deduces from the wording of the Rambam that if the person does not assist in the rabbit's capture, he's patur, because by inciting the dog, he only precipitated their capture. He did not directly commit the Easter with his hands. So, getting to an issue, you know, is my animal doing a malacha for me on Shabbos with this? The dogs are chasing the rabbits. Similarly, Tosfos assumes that if one sets a trap on Shabbos, he's not liable for tzedem in the Torah when animals get trapped, because he did trap them with his hands. He only precipitated, I think he means he did not trap them with his hands, he only precipitated their trapping. Tosfos also says that Beit Shammai prohibits beginning a malacha before Shabbos only if it was a malacha that is biblically forbidden on Shabbos. He does not prohibit beginning an act before Shabbos, which is only rabbinically prohibited on Shabbos. That's like you were saying in Pesach David. Consequently, Tosfos asks why Beit Shammai prohibits setting traps before Shabbos, inasmuch as setting traps on Shabbos is not biblically prohibited. So the key he's getting into, he wants to say, it doesn't sound like setting a trap would be, you'd be over on a malacha d'oraisa. That's what he wants to say. So Tosfos answers that under certain circumstances, setting a trap does involve a malacha in a Torah, such as where an animal gets trapped immediately when the trap is set. Okay, it's getting a little... I think I'll leave the rest of this out here. Okay, anyway, I'm gonna cut it short at this point in time. Anyway, wonderful seeing all of you. I miss all of you very much, and I hope to see you again soon in the Beis
Medrash.
And we'll meet Blee Netter again tomorrow night. Now, if I always have problems with this computer and getting things online and things like that, but if you have problems, you can call me, okay? Or Fern will call me, and you all call Fern, okay? We'll handle it that way. Okay, anyway, nice seeing everybody. Okay, everybody good? And, okay, Malka, nice seeing you, Malka. Or hearing you. I'll see you.